Leslie Lefkur, Sie sammeln und beobachten und Sie wissen auch, dass man sie benennen kann, die Täter und die Opfer. Was können Sie uns dazu sagen?
I mean, the causes of the conflict, the origins of the conflict are of course extraordinarily important when we look at particularly political solutions, when we look at the way forward. From, I think, Human Rights Watch's point of view, from the point of view of a human rights organization, and perhaps also from a legal perspective, the question of the origin is less of a priority in some ways. Because at the end of the day, the way we look at the conflict in Darfur is looking at how it has been fought. You know, we as an organization, we don't take a position on whether a conflict is just or not just, or whether an insurgency has legitimate grounds for fighting against a government or not. What we look at is how the conflict is fought. And at the end of the day, when you look at how the conflict in Darfur has been fought, you cannot escape the conclusion that the Sudanese government has had a very clear, systematic, and deliberate policy of targeting civilians. And this is the fundamental cause of the human rights crisis that we see in Darfur. If the Sudanese government had fought the rebel insurgency according to international humanitarian law, according to the laws of war, the Geneva Conventions, we would not be all gathered here today talking about Darfur. And I think this is an important point because, you know, what you often hear, a lot of the debate that you hear between the warring parties, you know, between the Sudanese government and the rebel groups is, you know, becomes a sort of tit for tat of, well, you started it and you know, this kind of discussion. But when you're talking about concern for civilians, when you're talking about concern for what has happened, you have to look at the patterns of fighting. And what we see there is very clearly crimes against humanity and war crimes that have been committed by Sudanese government forces. And here I'd like to stress Sudanese government forces because I think also as the conflict has evolved over the last, you know, we're now talking about a conflict that has been continuing for at least 4 years. And that, of course, means that there have been patterns and fluctuations and an evolution in the way the conflict has taken place. And what we see today in Darfur, of course, is not the same situation that we saw 3 years ago. It's not the same patterns. It's not even the same warring parties, because where we had, you know, two main rebel factions in 2003, we now have more than a dozen different rebel factions. And of course, this creates a whole different set of problems for actors on the ground and for political actors. But I think when you look at the roots of what we see, when you look at the fact that there are, you know, 2 million people who, at least 2 million people who've been displaced, when you look at several hundred thousand civilians who have been killed either directly by violence or indirectly by lack of access to assistance, you know, we are talking about a deliberate Sudanese government policy. And I think that this is a red line in looking at the situation, looking at the policy of the government. And this is not to minimize the role played by the rebel groups. It's not to minimize the role played by international actors, be it China, Russia, members of the Arab League who have supported the Sudanese government, be it European Union members who perhaps have not invested the kind of resources in solving the conflict or in putting the kind of pressure that's needed on the Sudanese government, not to minimize the role and responsibility of any of these actors. But when you look at the way the crisis has evolved and when you look at the gravity of the situation we see today in Darfur, there is clearly a red line of Sudanese government policy, a policy of deliberate acts. Because as you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about more in the second panel, crimes against humanity, when you talk about crimes against humanity, by definition, you're talking about policy. You're talking about widespread and systematic acts. So you're talking about a policy rather than arbitrary individual incidents. You're talking about a policy of commission of acts, and you're talking about a policy of omission, of failing to take the kind of action that is needed to halt the abuses, to repair the damage that has been done. And this is a policy that has been consistent. I mean, if If there's one thing we can give perhaps the government in Khartoum credit for, it's consistency. There has been, you know, a very consistent policy. And I think one of the fundamental problems we see in addressing the conflict is that until that policy line is addressed, and it's not just a question of one element of, say, allowing international forces into Darfur. That's only a very small element in what we need to see happening. The policy of the Sudanese government is much broader. And until we see really sufficient pressure brought to bear to change that policy, then it's very difficult to see, I think, an optimistic future in Darfur.